Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Thorpe FX. Thorpe FX offer the best of British boutique effects pedals built to a standard unmatched in their field. And with a comprehensive range of unique and meticulously designed heavy-duty pedals, Thorpe FX have stormed the boutique world. Check them out at ThorpeFX.com, where at the moment there is even a clearance section on their website where you can save some serious money on some of their best effects pedals. Or visit one of the many retailers stocking Thorpe gear worldwide, from Anderton's in the UK to Thomann in Germany, AMS in the USA, Vintage Guitar in Norway, Pedal Empire in Australia, and loads more. ThorpeFX.com. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar amp. A very Orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremolo 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Wow, you really pulled it back.
I didn't mess up anything. Mark Packham.
Yes.
And Matthew Knight.
Onions.
Jay, what did I do wrong in the intro this week?
It was just the way that you started off quite slow and you said slightly the wrong thing and then you looked at me and I had to look away because otherwise you would have laughed.
Yeah.
And then by the end of your sentence, you were back up and running.
I did make it the whole way through, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I know.
And you can tell. I started it and then realised I had no idea what I was saying.
Why am I here? What do I do? How many episodes in are we?
228.
That's 227 too many, if you ask me.
What do you think we're going to do when we get to episode 250? Which is actually still quite a long way away.
Exactly the same thing that we do every week, try to take over the world.
Well, you know exactly what's going to happen, is episode 250 is going to fall probably on the week that we're doing Gear of the Year. Much like episode 200 fell when we were doing Gear of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that was a problem.
Didn't we just bungle through it, though? Well, we just changed the rules?
Yeah, we just changed the rules in that before we'd always numbered the Gear of the Year episode.
Did we even do anything for episode 200? No, I think we thought we were going to, and then we just didn't.
One of us wasn't here or something, so
we just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
We still need to, I reckon, episode 300 live episode.
Episode 200.
That's 2 years from now.
That's fine.
We did the best of...
We did the best of,
but we didn't have...
Yeah,
which is why it was the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just reflect on your relationships with me?
No, yeah, I just made a soundboard of our favourite things that you've said.
We pretended that you had died and we did a eulogy episode.
Oh, that's really nice. Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
That was dark.
We just played his best bits. It was like when someone gets evicted from Big Brother or dies. Or both.
People have died on Big Brother?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's how they get rid of them.
Wow.
Off is, with her head.
That is pretty heavy. Anyway, yeah, we've got all four of us back this week, which is lovely. Last week, we obviously did a three without you, Mark Packham.
I was on the North Cornwall coast, loving it.
We missed you, Mark.
Basically didn't...
Oh, yeah, thanks, Matt. Thank you.
Pretty much didn't look at the internet for a week, and do you know what? My life felt 100 times better. So, suck it, nerds.
Wow, unbelievable. So last week I went up to see Matty, which upset Jay a bit because I didn't tell Jay I was going to see Matty. But
I don't care that much.
No, he didn't care that much. Matt has an alarming amount of gear.
Yeah, I mean, between you, you've probably got more than a large guitar shop.
Yeah, I just I don't think I quite realised how much stuff Matt had. Yeah,
it's not the most amount of stuff I've ever had, actually. Probably the most...
probably is the most amount of stuff.
I don't know. Maybe. I've probably had more guitars and amps at one point. I've definitely got less amps than...
Yeah, you've downsized on the amps. Your pedal board is absolutely colossal. I'll tell you what, one thing you did send through this week on our little chat was some awesome things you were doing via your favourite thing, MIDI, with the Chase Bliss... Mood.
Yeah, I worked out how to program it into a tiny synthesizer. Not really, sort of. Well, it's basically got a MIDI clock control, which controls the pitch of your looped audio, which I've realized you can control via MIDI.
So you can assign a note per switch,
sort of. Yeah, the control,
you can't see which note that is. You would have to do that by...
Well, actually, what it is the clock control in the middle of the mood. So the mood obviously has a looper and then like a delay / reverb. And it's all synced around this clock control. But rather than the count five, which when you sweep it is chromatic, so you can never really tell where you're going to... It's just going to make a load of random notes as you sweep it. This one's set to octave and fifth. So each position is a fifth and an octave and then a fifth and then an octave. So no matter what you program it, you know it's going to be in tune with what you've looped.
Oh, that's handy. But
I wasted 6 hours. 6 hours on that.
Because, you know, the Line 6 Helix has a whole setting which does that, the four-note generator. But but I thought it was impressive that you managed to do it with the...
I wasted my entire weekend programming MIDI and making noise. I don't think I actually played like a chord for probably an entire weekend. Amy was away and I was like, what should I do? I'll go to the gym and play guitar. So I did both of those things and ended up playing guitar at one point for about 6 or 7 hours.
Crikey,
and I don't think I
played... People at the gym must have been well annoyed.
Yeah. Took my whole board down. That's how do you think I lift weights? Yeah. Just there with your pedal board, just bench press. They're really multifunctional, you know. Just pop them up against the wall, you can do push-ups against them, individual pedals for, you know, hand weights, you know.
Oh, yeah, that
carry it when you're on the treadmill, you know, like you're running to a gig.
Amazing.
I'm just imagining some sort of like Rocky montage with Matt, but like he's carrying his pedal board in all these different scenarios.
We should definitely do that. That would be hilarious.
Can you take a pedal board climbing? That could be my challenge.
Just you know, attach your carabiner.
But what remote power supply would you use? Because if you've got a big pedal board, then those pedal train
Voltos,
it's not going to do it.
You'll need four Voltos.
Yeah,
Does anyone else do a Volto?
No.
I assume the name's trademarked.
No, yeah.
No, there are some. Who is the Outlaw Effects? Make the powered pedal board, which got a Volto.
You could do that because they do a large size Outlaw Effect.
That was great. We haven't talked about that in ages.
No. What, the Volto?
No,
the Outlaw Effects thing. That was pretty cool.
I think I must have missed that. I don't know what we're talking about.
So Outlaw Effects made a pedal board with built-in power in the same way that
rechargeable
Volto,
lithium ion.
Oh, nice.
Rather than being like the Volto, the pedal train Volto, which was essentially
it was that long ago,
a phone-sized thing, a phone-sized power brick. It was essentially a phone battery, isn't it? But you know, made for things. The Outlaw stuff was an actual pedal board that had been converted, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was the company that made the board that powered pedals via magnetic energy? Did I dream that?
Oh, no, that was a thing. And that
oh, thank
thing.
Goodness. For a minute there, I really did think I'd dreamt that.
I think that was a thing at Summer NAMM.
I can't remember. Shows you how much attention we really pay.
I think the problem with that was that you had to install something else in your pedal for it to work.
Right.
And there was only a few companies that were like taking on, because there was a talk at one point. It wasn't Dr. Z, it was a similar amp company. They were like, oh, we're going to build your pedal's power supply into our amp and it's going to be like wireless.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it just faded into obscurity because everyone was like, ridiculous.
It's expensive. A bit of a problem that no one really needs.
Well,
fixed.
I just realised, because I was like, pedal train Volta. I was like, I remember they getting discontinued, and then we were waiting ages for the second one. I'm like,
it just came out in a different
many
colour.
Volta. Yeah, I was like, I haven't seen many Volto 2s, and I'm like, oh, they're on Volto 3 now, so...
Forget about Volto 2. No one needs
it.
Maybe they just skip straight from 1 to 3.
Maybe.
Like Fast and the Furious.
Did that not have a Fast and the Furious?
I don't know.
Two?
We were talking about it this week. It skipped one.
There's no numbered film that is 3.
Oh, there you go.
Except for Lethal Weapon, which starts at 2.
No, 1's good.
Wait, 1's not good.
What about Back to the Future 3?
It starts at 2.
Back to the Future 3. I'm reading a book at the moment about
We're not dissing like films at a third.
Yeah.
Just saying there was no
Die
Fast
Hard
and
with
Furious
a Vengeance
3.
Very good.
There's no Fast and the Furious 3. There's Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. That's the third one in the series. Oh. Anyway.
That's what I mean. Isn't Back to the Future called Back to the Future Part 3?
No, it's Back to the Future with a Vengeance.
Yes. So I'm reading a book about Back to the Future at the moment. And you know how, like, after, like, 2 months, they changed the lead actor? So it was a guy called Eric Stoltz.
No. It was always Michael J. Fox
it was not.
In all of them.
It was not.
Yeah. I don't know what you're
it
talking about.
So, Michael J. They wanted Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, they got him.
No, eventually.
Yeah, they did get him.
Michael J. Fox.
I've seen the movies.
So, they wanted Michael J. Fox, but he was working on Family Ties, the show.
Right.
And they basically...
Oh, he was in Scrubs.
He was in Scrubs and Spin City. Great show. Yeah. And he was too busy, basically. The people who were producing Family Ties said, you can't have him, he's too busy.
Teen Wolf.
Anyway, so Teen Wolf was before that, actually. Right. But so they got this guy, Eric Stoltz, and like 2 months into shooting the film, they were like, this film's rubbish.
He's no Michael J. Fox.
Well, they basically said, yeah, this film isn't working, and we might as well just knock it on the head. And then, so they went, but they were like, well, what's the last, we've got to try and get Michael J. Fox. So they went back to the Family Ties people and they were like, oh yeah, actually things have changed on the show now 2 months later and we don't need him so much, so you can have him. But one of the things that was a byproduct of that is Michael J. Fox, don't know if you know, very short man. Eric Stoltz, quite a bit tall man.
Is he?
So there's a lot of scenes in Back to the Future where Michael J. Fox is standing on a stool. For example, where he goes to put the the hook in the back of the DeLorean to connect with the wire that sends the lighting down.
Spoilers.
In that shot, he's standing on a stool to do it because he couldn't reach over the bonnet of the over the back part of the DeLorean because he was too short to put the thing in.
Was he on a stool to play the 3-4-5 as well?
One moment. Do you think that the back part of the car is called the bonnet? Because it's not called that in
the
English
back
or American.
Back
bonnet. Back
bonnet.
Yeah,
the back bonnet.
There's the back bonnet.
The back bonnet.
Come on, back bonnet. Also talking of back
what's,
the
what's
future.
Bonnet in American?
Hood.
The hood.
Back hood.
The back hood. Yeah, okay, fine. Back bonnet. Back hood to the future.
The back bonnet.
Okay.
So, yeah, they had to stand on a little step. I thought that was just a nice little fact. I haven't finished the book yet, so next week I might have some more facts for you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. This is really good.
Christopher Lloyd, scared of heights. So when he does the scene where he's up the clock tower, you know, doing the thing, he said, can I do it kneeling down? And they said, absolutely not. You've got to stand. The action requires you to stand up, so you've got to stand up. There we go.
But he actually was on the clock tower.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard, I know you have because I've played it to you before, but Tom Wilson, who plays Biff Tannen in Back to the Future, like he has got some songs on YouTube where he...
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good. And he did a song about Back to the Future and it's so good.
Oh, I need to listen to this. I'm excited by
this
revelation.
He's really cool. He seems really cool. Maybe he's not cool, but he seems cool in these videos.
He had a podcast at one point and it was called something like Super Action Fun Time.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a good name.
That isn't actually the name, but
maybe
something like
we should rename our podcast.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please
go listen to that
podcast.
Your suggestions.
We'll carry on. Actually, before you do wander off and listen to that podcast, and whilst I do want to talk about guitars on this guitar-based podcast, you want to talk about Patreon.
Two things that I want to mention. Firstly, I bought a Suzuki Omnicord at the week.
Finally
arrived last
week.
So
for listeners...
What's not the 60?
For listeners who don't know what the wonderful kidney bean instrument that is the Suzuki Omnicord is...
It's not kidney bean. I wouldn't say it's a kidney bean. I'd say it's in the shape of...
You're just pulling...
A rounded auto-harp. So Suzuki Omnicord produced, I think, late 70s to late 80s, is a digital...
Several incarnations.
Yeah, a digital auto-harp. Which basically boils down to it's a drum machine that also you can play bass notes and
a bit like an accordion.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
you can pick it with either a wet finger or the plastic plectrum provided. Or a plastic plectrum provided, an oversized thick sort of rubber plectrum, and then you have the same sort of chord button structure that you would get on an accordion. It's very, very cool sounding.
So you've got classic drum patterns like rock and heavy rock. You've got waltz and
one, two, three.
There is foxtrot on there. Yeah. There's also swing.
Sucker for a foxtrot.
So you basically select the drum pattern that you want. You hold down the note, so it could be like F sharp major.
Oh. That's a good one.
Yep. Yeah. And then, so you've got major, minor, or seven, major seven for each chord. And then you've got, like a ribbon controller on the side that you sort of strum up and down on it. You don't necessarily have to use a wet finger.
I was watching a video and a guy was like, make sure you wet your finger.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was
just
not
an Omnicord video. You just were watching a video where a guy said that.
Oh, maybe I'm getting confused with other things that I watch. Yeah,
you're right. Anyway, that's quite fun to play with. I was going to try and bring it today to provide some accompaniment to Joe's Patreon read.
Why didn't you?
Because I walked in, I couldn't bother to carry it.
I mean, it's the size of a kidney.
No, it's not. It's massive.
It's not that big.
Joe, how big do you think kidneys are?
Well, depends
on
how inflamed
they are. Joe's
probably
quite swollen, this is not going to work on the podcast, but I'd say it's about that big.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, listeners, you can probably tell from that.
It's a hand span.
A hand span? That was like two hand spans.
Yeah, that was like elbow to palm.
Yeah.
Elbow to palm.
No, it's bigger than that, I would say. Depends on how big your arms are. But.
Well. You know,
anyway, so the other thing I wanted to talk about this week is...
Fantastic instrument, the Suzuki Omnicord. Listeners, I assume you've all heard of it, but if you haven't, really, there are some fantastic videos.
We've got one in the Guitar Nerds family now.
Until
you decide to flip it.
Also, I bought it really cheap, so I might flip it.
But it's so worth a purchase. It's so much fun.
Speaking of Reverb, I know that you're going to do something in a minute, but I've got something important to announce.
Go on then.
So I listed my first product for sale on Reverb this week. And of course, because I did that... I had to come up with a name for my shop.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of your shop?
So I've called my shop Live Long and Pro Store.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's really good.
I was really proud of that.
That's pretty good. Mine's really Joe's Fetish Items.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good to know.
Not far from the truth.
Yeah.
So just quickly wanted to talk about Patreon because I was listening to a podcast this week. They gave a shout out to their kind of Patreon people at the start of the podcast, which is something that we don't do. Obviously, we read the names of all our $10 backers.
You're not going to make me read them.
Yeah,
out
no, I'm going to make you do it right now. No. We read the names of the $10 backers at the end of the podcast, but not everyone listens to the whole podcast. So just wanted to talk about what we do for Patreon at the start of the pod and say thank you to everyone who is already signed up. Plus, also talk about the benefits of $1 tier because we kind of skip over it at the end. But if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you've been listening for years and stuff, don't feel like you can contribute $5 every month, but you want to help us out in some way, the $1 tier is obviously very affordable and it means that you get the podcast early. So if you want to be ahead of the curve...
When they get it Monday night or Tuesday night? Tuesday morning.
They get it at Tuesday around midday.
Tuesday midday.
Yeah, which is earlier than the Wednesday morning of the regular.
I have literally no idea.
They also get access to the podcast notes.
Podcast notes as well. If you want to go
you
back,
still keep
and...
up with that rubbish.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we decided it was a waste of time.
No.
Nobody ever read it, and you know. That was a conversation me and Mark had.
Yeah.
You literally have access to the same.
Yeah, we talk about
God
a lot.
Damn it.
We talk about a lot of stuff on the pod, and you know, one of the quickest ways to find that is to go through the podcast notes. And so the $1 tier is, you know, if you feel like you have enjoyed listening to this podcast for the last 4 years, it's an affordable way to not only kind of contribute to it, but you get some specific nice perks as well. Get the podcast early, get the podcast notes. Bloody lovely, basically.
Get but inflated self of sense.
Well,
of
join the club. You know, you're helping us do this every week.
And join me.
You're part of an exclusive club that does so. So
yeah,
yeah. But yeah, thanks to everyone for helping out with the old Patreon. Loads of new $10 backers, which is good. And it also means that if you are going to listen to the end of this episode, Joe might pass out from reading them all in one breath.
Oh, I think we've got some more.
I think once you fail, you need to start reading the names out with one breath each.
So they're really, really long.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
No, or you just basically hyperventilate. You say a name, you have to do a deep breath, then you say a name, you have to do a deep breath. And we see which is more dangerous to your health. The long list of names in one breath, or a big breath in between each name, but very quickly.
There are something like 52, 54 names on the list at the moment, which if you think about what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
That's not bad. That's you know, that's 108 words.
Sometimes more, because some people have got longer names.
Yeah, made up names. People with double barreled surnames.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, made up names.
Yeah.
But that's all I want to say about Patreon. You know, if you already contribute, thank you very much. And also, you know, if you feel like you can't stretch to the $5 or $10, there is the $1 tier, and the perks to that are pretty cool as well.
Can we talk about some guitar things?
Sure.
Okay, so let's dive. I tell you what, let's just dive straight into some news. So first up, Matthew Knight. I would like to talk to you about a brand who you're probably most
familiar.
Familiar, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Familiar
that's
with
most brands, but yeah.
talk to me about Thorpe FX, one of our favourite effects pedal companies. who are advertising on this podcast at the moment. They've released a new pedal.
They have, yes. So we are looking at now the Heavy Water. I think Jay will be interested in what Heavy Water is, since all of the Thorpe pedals have some sort of military name. Heavy Water is water with more hydrogen infused in it, which they use for various things, including, I read today, making bombs.
I just thought all water was heavy, really. I was washing my girlfriend's
you're thinking
car.
Of electricity.
I wonder what you were going to say then.
No, water's heavy though, isn't it? I was washing my girlfriend's car and I had to like fill up a bucket of water and carry it downstairs.
No, the bucket
and I was like,
the bucket
"No, Joe,
heavy.
You're
it's
just
heavy.
Weak."
No, yeah. It's the bucket is heavy. The thing to do is too. The thing to do is poke a hole in the bucket.
Right,
it lightens the load.
Yeah, yeah. The less bucket there is, the lighter it will be.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be without you.
You're best to do it in the middle, at the bottom.
Right. Okay.
What
cool.
You've just admitted to is basically being an immense weakling.
Oh no! I had to carry a bucket outside from the tap.
It was heavy.
How big was the bucket?
I don't know. Bucket size.
Bucket size, yeah. Really? Did you put it on your edge?
Bucket. No. I sort of carried it with one hand. I had my gin in the other. I couldn't use two hands for it. But
why didn't you put the gin into the bucket, and then you could have carried it with two hands?
That would have been a better idea. Like a Jaeger bomb. But
how is it like a Jaeger bomb?
Because you have the shot of Jaeger that floats in the Red Bull.
Okay, but what you're talking about here is gin and a bucket of
soapy water. I mean, you've hit some real lows, but that would be...
Soapy water's all right. You can drink soapy water.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. It's not like drinking paint.
No, that's you're
true.
Right.
It
it's
is
not
like
drinking paint.
Anyway,
I mean, it's not that far. But...
Matt, talk to us about this new explosive pedal.
Okay, right. So the Thorpe Heavy Water is half of the boost side of the Dane. So much requested by myself and many others.
This is literally something we spoke about on the Gear of the Year podcast. The fact that we liked the Dane as the being a make gooder, the boost side.
Yeah, because the boost side is not only just a great clean boost, it's got that really nice lows control on it. So you can turn the boost all the way down and then use the lows control to just kind of like fatten up single coils, or, you know, just give a real amount of bottom end to your signal. But then you've got a super high headroom clean boost as well. So that's really good for driving the front end of the amp. Or in the Dane, obviously driving the driven side, the overdrive side of the pedal. But myself and I think a lot of other people requested that they just do the boost side for that, great lows control and having the boost in there for other pedals. And lo and behold, here comes the heavy water. So the heavy water is half the Dane side. And then the second side is also another version of the Dane boost, but it's been tweaked to give you slightly more gain and use some of the germanium diodes that they're using inside. So you get this kind of really gritty sort of overdrive boost, sort of boost on one side, and then the kind of really clean boost with the lows on the other side. So you can run them together for a kind of really sort of heavy driven sound, or you can use it to drive the front end of your amp. So you've basically got two really distinctive boosts, but with that awesome lows control on each side. It's a really, really nice idea, and I think it's nice that they haven't just taken the boost side of the Dane and just gone, well, I sort of already make that circuit, here it is, and just another enclosure. They've actually, you know, gone to the trouble of redesigning the circuit and thinking of something extra to kind of do that people might want to be able to use.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like exactly what everyone wanted from the previous pedal, so I think it's going to be...
Yeah, and I mean, that Make Good Error is amazing. I think just that kind of... The right side just on its own is a really nice boost. It's amazing. And then you've got that left side with just a little bit more grit, which would be great going into the front of like an amp sort of, you know, if you're someone who doesn't use a lot of pedals or you want to really just push the front end of your amplifier for using like an old Marshall or something like that, I think this could be a really good pedal without going for a pedal that's insanely distorted, yeah, like an action, you know. So yeah, I think this would really want to try one out. I mean, obviously I know what the boost side sounds like, but I'm interested to kind of see what the other side's like and see how it works with the Dane boost.
I tell you what, I'm really into the arrogance of this pedal, because basically what he's done is he's gone, you know what, that sounds good, I'm just gonna put it on there twice. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
All right, so in terms of Make Gooderers, which have always been a popular thing amongst us,
very flavor of the week though.
Ooh, maybe. Okay, so then that's where this question comes from then. What is everyone's favorite Make Gooderer? Matt Knight.
Well, I mean, I've been using the Dane for, well, since before Christmas.
Do you leave it on then all the time? To me. You just leave that side of it on?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So I pretty much leave it on all the time. The only time I might turn it off is if I switch to a drive sound and I don't want the boost side going into the drive.
Right.
Because sometimes you want to use that as like a little bit of a gain boost. But I pretty much leave it on all the time. Apart from that, a pedal that we haven't talked about for a long time, which I still think is the original Make Gooderer, is the Pigtronic Class A boost.
Love it. Classic.
Absolutely.
There's one for the great pedal. One for the OGs. Absolutely. In the back.
Yeah, £79 now. I think that's a fantastic price.
What was the...
Such an awesome pedal.
The 18 volt?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
The TC Electronic Spark Boost?
No, the TC Electronic Spark Boost. The TC Electronic Spark Boost was the pedal that everybody always used to come into the shop to try and buy.
Right.
And the one that they would end up leaving with was the Pigtronic Class A Boost.
Oh, right. See, I have the TC, but I don't think I've ever owned the Pigtronics one.
The Pigtronics is
great. What's better about the Pigtronics one then,
Jay? It's better. It just sounds better. Right. So basically you can plug 9 to 18 volts into it. So when you put...
That's what you want from the Make Gooderer, isn't
it? I think
headroom.
So. I mean, yeah, when you put the 18 volt, when you use an 18 volt power supply with it, you get a lot more headroom. It's really kind of clean and sparkly, and you just turn up the control, which I think says gain, but really should just say Gooderer.
Gooderer.
Or just, I think it just says,
it
should
just
say
level.
Good.
Oh,
it says level. It should just say good, and you just turn up the good. They just sounded great. Really, yeah. Really great.
And £79.
Not a lot.
Yeah, and a lot in a micro housing. And what I really like here on the specs, it basically runs on air. Current draw, 2 milliamps. I mean, it might as well just power out of thin air. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, that's very good. Jay Cross, favourite Make Gooderer?
Favourite Make Gooderer? I always like the Amaterasu.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. One I was thinking about mentioning if no one
what
else
was the,
did.
What was the name of that pedal?
That was the...
Because they all have fairly similar names, don't they?
The Amaterasu is the name of the pedal.
Oh, okay.
But the
Ground control audio. Amaterasu, really like that pedal.
Do you remember they also... Because that was actually a treble boost and they later released a mid boost.
Which was a black one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember what they called that.
But that had a name that was similar to Amaterasu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. And maybe not strictly a Make Gooderer pedal, but in terms of just a pedal that I've always used kind of as a a jumping off point for my sound, like a preamp, is the Boss RE20. I know it's not really a make gooder, but it is,
because whether the delay's on or off, everything does sound better.
Yeah, because you've got that input volume control, and I just love it. And of course, the classic Mojo Mojo. Again, more of a drive pedal than a make gooder, but
you can drive the RE20, and that's what makes it.
Yeah, exactly. Gooder. Yeah. That kind of preamp type. Mm. Yeah.
I wish that preamp was off when the pedal was off. That's my only downside with that pedal.
What, the RE20?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then wouldn't be like the real one, would it?
But then I don't know where to put it to actually have my clean sound.
And then get two, put one at the beginning.
No, as in I don't know where to put the level to make it the same as if the pedal wasn't there.
What you could do is you could buy a true bypass loop switcher and then just switch it in and out of your signal chain if you really wanted to.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I could definitely do that. Mark Packham, favourite make gooder.
You know what I'm going to say. Dunlop Echoplex preamp. Sounds good.
I didn't think... Yeah, I forgot that you owned that. Have you sold yours
yet? Sold it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know that I'm on a drive to have less stuff. And I bought this Omnicord because I thought it would be a bit funny to buy. But in general, I'm not buying much stuff at the moment. I'm on a kind of...
Why would you? You're only sort of, probably the owner of the biggest guitar podcast in the world.
Yeah, but, all right, well, that's what I'm saying. Sign up to Patreon. They can pay me to buy this stuff, can't they? it's fun. I'll buy loads of stuff, but, I haven't got any money. Okay, so,
fine.
I'm trying to sell stuff right now. I've got nothing left to sell. It's a real dearth. Do you know
what? You've got plenty of stuff.
No, I haven't.
Do you know what,
I've got nothing. I've got no pedals at all. Right. I've got a tuner. That's it. Mm-hmm. I've got the amp. I've got the Katana 50.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two guitars. That's it.
What are the two guitars?
Baja Telly, Les Paul Junior.
And?
I've got the pink Sparkle Strat as
You've got the pink Sparkle. But it's your only pink instrument.
Mod mode.
No, it isn't. I've got the Baja Telly.
Oh, that's pink as well. I'm the only guitar nerd who doesn't own a pink instrument.
Get out,
loser.
That's why you're not one of the group.
That's right.
I'm remedying it. I'm sorting something out.
Okay, good.
Grabber orange is the new color now. Sorry.
No, it's You've not. Grabber orange is the worst color ever.
Buying my 24th bass of the year. It's gonna be pink.
Yeah. Well,
this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their incredible new Neo 250 copperback speakers. Sacrificing none of the delicious musicality of your favorite Celestions, the Neo 250 copperback is a neodymium speaker that supplies tons of tone without the signature cone breakup immediately associated with the classic Celestion growl. Rated at a monstrous 250 watts, the Neo 250 works together with your amp to provide fantastic dynamics, delivering all the headroom and touch sensitivity you could possibly need. All that at a modest £5, that's like 2.2 kilograms. Check them out at Lean Business in the UK, TubeAmp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ebo Loud in Spain, plus gear for Music Toman and Backstrop. And if you're in the US, then you've got retailers like Sweetwater, Musician's Friend AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. For more details, check them out, celestion.com.
Oh, I've got a bit of a problem actually coming up.
We hear about them all the time.
No.
Not just one problem.
You got that referral sorted then.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
lovely.
Thanks. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've got to play this little set at Arctangent. Not with my band, but with part of like this big band. And
Meshuggah.
Yeah, I'm playing.
I'd love to see you on stage with Meshuggah.
No, we're playing a set for my friend Dan, who passed away last year. And there's like all the bands are. We're going to do this big version of a Clef song. Clef played in Drop D. How many guitars do you think I own that are in that tuning?
That are only in Drop D.
That are capable of getting into that tuning. And I think that's really insensitive.
Of Dan.
Yeah, of Dan.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Everyone. But so I was thinking I might actually have to buy something new. Because it's either I buy something new.
Yeah.
Or I've got to reset up a bass. Because I don't know
that's
anything.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. On what planet should you have to do that for your mate?
Exactly.
Outrageous. How many basses do you own?
Too many.
And none of them can be played in Drop D.
Well,
which is just standard tuning with a slightly lower low string.
I don't have anything in standard tuning.
Okay. Do you just want to borrow my P bass for the weekend?
I need something more flamboyant.
Okay.
Anyway, I think I've sorted it out.
Buying a Bootsy Collins?
No, I was thinking about, we've got a Sparkle Aqua Blue Music Man Bongo on loan from Music Man at the moment. So I asked them if they'd mind. So that's what I'm going to be.
Ridiculous man.
Stealing the limelight is what I'm all about. And what better way to do it than with a Sparkle
Blue? That is a
great
coloured. That is a great coloured bass. It is the best Music Man bass.
Absolutely.
Bongos.
Yeah,
it's not six string though, which is obviously the best one.
How did you describe the Music Man bongo?
It looks like a toilet seat.
Yeah. it does look a lot like my toilet seat. And so, you know, and now whenever I look at the bass and look at my toilet seat, I can't. You always need the toilet, you know. just anyway, Jay Cross, talk to me about Fender FX pedals, because we've been trying to talk about these for a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks since Fender released a whole new line of super awesome FX pedals.
Yes, well, not really released. They are announced and they are going to be shipping later in the year. But six new pedals. I'm just going to quickly run through them because I'm sure most people have heard about them now. But there's the MTG-LA, which is another tube-driven overdrive pedal.
So it's the second tube-driven overdrive.
The second one, yeah. So they basically, the story behind this is Fender found a bunch of 6205 preamp little tubes, microtubes,
right,
from the 70s just knocking about in the warehouse.
That's
they've been there since the 70s. And so someone was like, well, we should probably do something with these. So Bruce Egnator got involved, and Bruce Egnator, along with Stan Cote, who has designed all the rest of the Fender pedals, designed the original MTG, and it's really cool, high gain drive pedal. And this is more of a 80s low mid drive pedal. So yeah, sounds really good. There's
like a scoopy sort of metal thing.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, kind of 80s metal type thing. Cool. Very scooped. Second pedal is the Trapper, which is a new fuzz. This actually, I think, will be very popular.
So this fuzz is like, it's more detailed, isn't it? Because
the Pelt, which was
a single pedal.
Exactly, thing. Yeah. So this is a twin voiced fuzz. The first sound is kind of more of a traditional type fuzz with, similar to the...
Some more Hendrix-y sort of thing.
Yes, with a switchable high octave, so you can bring that in and out.
Okay, so very Hendrix-y.
Yes, and the second sound is more of a kind of modern, ultra-gated...
Right.
You know
fuzz
exactly.
Factory.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm going to absolutely hate the sound of it,
right,
which will mean... People like
I'll
you,
love
you
love
like, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Me and Matt will love it.
Exactly.
So essentially, you've got all
sounds
three
great
types of fuzz in that one pedal,
totally,
which is traditional fuzz,
octave,
like big
fuzz,
Jimi Hendrix, which is the octave, and then modern fuzz.
Exactly.
Which is the
yeah,
cave.
It sounds great. It sounds really, really cool. There's the new Compugilist, which is a bit of an interesting one. So the Compugilist is a mixture of the Pugilist, which is a drive pedal that came out
last year, which we really liked,
and the Benz, which is the compressor that came out earlier in the year as well.
Oh, I really liked that compressor as well.
So they're both in one box. The Compugilist, you've only got the one drive sound instead of the two drive circuits that you have in the Pugilist. Again, really cool, and looks like the Pugilist.
With that one, is it just always running the compressor into the drive, or can you switch that round?
You cannot... can you switch... I think you can switch them round. I can't remember.
Right.
I can't remember.
Okay, cool. It sounds like Fender are going after the heavier market as a rule with some of
these. Yeah, I mean,
pedals.
I think basically the thing is that the first few pedals that came out really needed to be kind of your bread and butter. They needed to appeal to Fender classic customer base. So nothing mad, nothing weird, just cool bass. You know, there was a big point to prove after the last wave of pedals that came out, the competition series, which was at the turn of the decade, and I think that's happened now, and we can go down and do something slightly weirder, which is cool. There's an envelope filter, the pour over, because it's it's a filter.
Oh,
isn't that smart?
Is that what pour over coffee means?
Yeah, because you pour it into the filter.
We don't really have coffee like that over here, Joe.
No, I know. I've heard people mention it over there.
Well,
I have a filter machine. I just didn't know that was called a pour-over coffee. Well, I've heard people mention it.
Well, we don't really have Mr. Coffee over here, though, do we, Jay?
Mr. Coffee?
Which is the coffee machine that seems to be everywhere in
America. Oh, right. Okay. I don't know about that. I only drink specialty craft small batch coffee.
Oh, really? Do you? I only drink Taylor's.
That's who we should get to sponsor this podcast.
Taylor's small coffee. Batch.
That would be good. Yeah.
Then we can get free small batch coffee because it's really good.
I just ran out of coffee this morning.
I need to get an AeroPress or something at home because all I have is like a 4-person cafetiere. And because Emma doesn't really drink coffee, I'm just making a 4-person cafetiere for myself at home every morning.
I've got a little life hack here for you, Joe.
Yeah.
So when you use a receptacle, you don't have to fill it up to the top. You could put 1/4 amount worth of liquid into the receptacle.
Is it going to work the same?
Or, Joe Branton,
you
could get into cold brew and just don't boil the water, make the 4 cafetiere and let it brew overnight
in the fridge.
Right.
And then you can just drink it cold.
18 hours, really.
Which is great. It's the best way to have coffee.
Yeah, but I mean, I do drink it cold because the first one is warm. The second one is
not drinking
so warm.
It quick enough.
And the third and the fourth really are just... Enough. Oh, okay.
But an AeroPress is great. I've got an AeroPress and I really like it.
They're cool.
Just bring it back to guitars. Jay, when are they coming out? I couldn't see anything on the Fender website and the fuzz piqued my interest, but I cannot see it.
In October is when they're actually shipping. I think they should be on the website, but if they're not, then they're not. They're shipping in October.
So we've had the computer list.
Yep. The pour over bass envelope. Envelope filled, but it sounds really good with bass. I've heard it with bass.
Do guitarists use envelope filled?
If you want that kind of like quacky chic sound.
I don't know. Listener, do any of you use envelope filters on guitar? I'd have thought that was a near bass.
He's talking to Matt.
I don't know why Matt's asking. Answering.
Of course.
Okay, so
several.
There's a lot here and I don't want to just spend the whole episode talking about them. So I just wanted to focus on the last two.
You've got 3 minutes.
I do think are really cool. So first of all, the Smolder Acoustic Overdrive. So this is something that I do think is actually quite unique. And Joe, I'm gonna break the fourth wall here. When I said that out loud, you made a really weird face.
An acoustic overdrive.
So that is exactly how I felt.
I had enough time accepting the Acoustasonic.
That is how I felt right up until, and it's my job to sell these, yeah? And I felt like that right up until I actually heard it. And you what, it sounds really, really good.
Okay.
It sounds really good.
So when I think of acoustic and overdrive, I think of that band that did the bow bow da bow bow.
Wheaters.
Yeah, Wheaters.
Okay, okay. I mean, I'm not sure how I got that from that, but no, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds really authentic.
Right.
It honestly, just track down a video on it. It sounds great. The thing that's most important about it is it's got a blend control on there. So you can bring in the dry circuit as well.
The most important control on any effect.
Yeah, well, yeah, completely. So that's that. The one that I think people are actually going to be really interested in is the Reflecting Pool, which is a new big delay reverb pedal. So delay and reverb in the same box with a tap tempo for the delay. It is £250.
So the most expensive pedal?
Is
that more expensive than that big bass pedal that you did?
It's about the same price. About the same. I think. I can't remember.
And is it a 4 or a 3 pedal? A 3-foot switch.
3-foot switch. So one reverb, one delay, and then a tap as well.
Is it the same algorithms as some of the other delay pedals, or is it the delay and reverb like smashed together?
It is not. So that's a question that's come up a lot. Is it just the marine layer and the mirror image, which are the delay and reverb pedals that came out when we first brought out the pedals? And no, it's not. It is completely new algorithms, completely new sounds. It's actually based on the effects engine on the DSP that is in the Treeverb.
Right.
So if you're into the sound of the Treeverb,
I thought that was the best pedal Fender have put out.
So it's the same processor as that, which is it's a much more powerful, and I just think it sounds much better.
I think the Treeverb is if you don't own a Treeverb, you should buy a Treeverb. I don't think there's too much else doing
is
a better
it,
job
is it
for
Treeverb
the price.
Or Treeverb?
It really depends on
you
how
you mean, like Trey Cool from Green Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was his signature pedal. I was like, right, that's a weird choice, but you know.
Pete Honore was really funny on the Andertons video because he was like, when they were talking about it, it was, and we had a little chuckle about it together when I saw him a couple of weeks ago. He was like, Treverb. Oh, and there's three reverbs. Treverb, of course. And then they got to the fact that there's a tremolo in there as well. So, but yeah, so anyway, reflecting pool, delay and reverb. So there's 9 reverb sounds in there. So you go whole room and then special. And then each of those has got 3 different.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sounds a bit on. So 3 rooms, 3 halls, and then 3 special, including a shimmer.
Hey, and that's what it needed. That's what Fender needed.
Yeah, totally. And it sounds fantastic. Really, really fantastic. And then on the other side, you've got the delay control. And again, 3 different, 3 different types of delay. So there's digital, analog, and tape. And then instead of having a variation between those 3, you've got quality control. So you can control how good the repeats sound, basically.
Great.
So when you're on the tape sound, obviously you turn it down to the lowest quality,
right,
and it sounds fantastic. But also with that, you've got rate and depth controls to control the modulation, like you would with a carbon copy or something like that. But yeah, it sounds amazing. Obviously, I'm biased and people aren't going to believe me. There's loads of other features on there. Like,
welcome to my world.
Well,
Jay.
Yeah, totally.
Welcome
but
to my world.
There's loads of other controls on there. Like, you can control the subdivisions by holding down the tap and wiggling the time control. There's loads of cool stuff on there, and so go and check it out for yourself. Watch a video. I really love it, and I'm definitely buying one as soon as they come into stock. I'm really excited about it. I think it's gonna be a big hit.
Speaking of doing weird things with tap controls, actually, there was a comment on our Instagram about, I shared a picture of Matt, that what was that Ibanez delay with the fader? Do you remember
the Echo Shifter?
The Echo Shifter. And someone pointed out on there, and I didn't know this, but apparently when using the Echo Shifter, if you hit the tap tempo just once, then it still tries to work that out. And so instead of being able to work that out, creates a really sort of...
It sounds like the tape is like trying to catch up with itself.
Well, not quite, because it's trying to count it, but because there's essentially an infinite amount of time before your second count, it just elongates the note until it breaks up. I haven't done this, but someone commented on the Instagram and said, oh yeah, it does that. And I was like, man, that is a really great feature. If that does that, that's
really cool.
That's kind of what everyone wants to be able to do without their hands on a delay.
I will test it. I reckon it's probably an unintended feature.
Yeah,
because obviously most tap tempo require 2, 3, or 4 taps, and obviously it works out the subdivision based on that.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing what happens is you press 1 and the clock is like, right, I'm waiting for the next one, gets to the maximum point of the Bucket Brigade chip. And then
I mean, Matt, you're ruining
the
fun of this,
beginning.
Really. Just, it's magic.
I think it's magical. Quite cool.
Dropping science.
Yeah, pedal science.
So
it's much needed.
We're going to move on at this point because Mark Packham.
Hello.
You've got a secret surprise for us.
I have. A cheeky off-schedule quiz for the podcast, although we haven't kept to that schedule for quite some time. But
yeah.
I was thinking about it today, the quiz.
Yeah, we haven't done a proper one for
ages.
Who
won the last one?
Me.
Did you?
That's definitely not true.
Was it me? I feel like it was me.
Definitely not true. Well, I've provided, with the absence of knowing who won the last one, I've stepped in and provided us with a single round quiz for the end of this podcast.
Right.
Circular.
This quiz I'm calling Year of the Gear. Because the rules of the game are...
Well, that was a good jingle, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really
Year of the Gear.
Great. Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, great jingle. So the aim of this game is I've picked out 10 key moments in the history of guitar stuff. Some of them major, some of them not so major. And I found out when they'd happened. And you guys need to guess the year. And for every year that you're off, you gain 1 point. Whether that be over or under.
So if you get it knob on, then...
You get zero.
Zero. It's like golf.
Which is what you want.
Which is what you want.
Oh, because, it's like golf.
Yeah, because the...
Can we call it
par? The most points...
Can we call it par?
No, it's called Year of the Gear.
Oh, no, I meant the points. Can we have...
Oh, if you're on par.
Yeah,
but if you're on par, then you finish with zero.
Yeah, but I don't know all the terms, though, because I don't know what a birdie is or whatever.
A birdie's two if you're two over.
Okay, well, let's... I think...
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, a birdie is one under.
An eagle is two under, a birdie is one under, and par.
One under. Yeah.
And then bogey is one over, and then you can have double bogey, triple bogey, and then you're rubbish.
Well,
that.
Someone has been playing a bit of Wii Golf recently.
Yeah, wow, yeah. On Actua Golf, everything I got was like an
Actua
8 bogey.
Golf, such a good game.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, I really love that game. Yeah.
What was the golf from The Simpsons?
Simpsons Golf.
No.
Lee Carvello's Putting Challenge.
There we go, yeah.
Lee Carvello's... That's the name of the quiz.
You have selected no. right, so... Okay, so first round. We're going to go Jay, then Matt, then Joe, and then we'll do a different order for the next one. So you've each get a chance to go first and put in your year. Jay, could you get a calculator up, please?
Oh my
so
gosh.
That we can
get it up.
Calculate how off... All of you are, and I shall assign
the points. Do I need a
notepad?
I'll get a notepad.
Dustly. Don't look at my screen.
I'm not going to look at your screen. Oh, someone...
You don't need a notepad.
I've got one right down here.
We've got the internet.
It's fine.
I can do it here.
What I'm going to do is do all the rounds, do all the questions, and then I'm going to add up the scores while Joe's doing his Patreon stuff at the end.
Is this like GCSE, where having the calculator during the quiz might be detrimental?
No, it's
I'm
good.
I can't cheat with the calculator.
You can't cheat. Okay. You can't cheat.
It's not like,
so,
what is 1946
the
minus...
The first crucial event. When was the Rickenbacker frying pan guitar released? Starting off, J. Cross.
What's the frying pan guitar?
It's basically the first ever electric guitar.
Really?
Yeah. That is easy. 1947.
I would have gone 49.
Well,
there you go then.
Wait for your turn then.
Oh, do I get a turn?
Yeah, you get a turn. Right, yeah, okay. Matt, what year are you saying?
Oh, I've given it away.
I was going to say 49. However, the first prototype telly was 1949. I feel it was before that.
Is that what Google's telling you, Matt?
Yeah. So, Jay, what did you say? 45?
No, 47? It doesn't matter what I said. 47. Doesn't matter what I said,
he
mate.
Said 47.
47.
Come on, Matt. Make a decision. We've got to
come on. You're definitely Googling. Definitely Googling.
No, 45.
There we go.
45.
1945.
Although I wouldn't cheat. You know, I'm the least cheaty out of all four of you.
What are you talking about?
Joe Branton.
I mean, I am cheating. I'm searching for it now.
Yeah, none of you can Google
it. I'm the most cheaty.
You can't Google it. What are you saying?
So I was going to say 49, but now everyone's been like, well, it's not going to be that late. And Jay's gone 47 and Matt's gone 45.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 46.
1946, the ultimate troll.
Okay, so what I'm going to tell you...
I enjoyed being last place there.
I have absolutely no idea, but because I was first, I just thought I'll try and mislead everyone. So I just picked a year out of the...
So,
do you think I should have gone 49?
Pretty sure you're
maybe
pretty close.
Can I change
too
my...
Late.
Can
no,
I
no it's already written down in my on my document.
Are you sure?
So,
are you sure?
The Rickenbacker frying pan guitar was released in 1931.
Oh, wow.
So,
Jay, you're winning.
No. Matt's winning. He was the closest. Oh. Yeah. So he's only got 14 points where he went with 1945. Next event.
Wait, do I need the calculator?
No, I could do that one. That was fine.
Okay.
I will add them up. I will need the calculator at the end. Okay. Definitely.
Okay. Play along, listener. Play along.
Right. So the next event, starting with Matt this time around. Matt, can you name the year that Gibson was bought by Henry?
1991.
Okay, 1991 from Matt. Next up is Joe Branton. You have to say 5, four,
God damn it,
three,
1996.
There you go. Okay, J. Cross.
1987.
The year that Gibson was purchased was 1986.
Oh, pow, pow, pow.
Wow.
Not so bad. I knew. I thought you guys were going a bit late.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Momentous day in guitar history.
Yeah. Oh, it's a momentous day.
What year was Paul Reed Smith born?
Oh,
ooh, nice.
Starting off with Joe Branton.
Yeah, of course. Okay, Paul Reed Smith. He looks old. Where were we? How many, what's the year at the moment? 2020, around then. and so 20 years ago, so he wasn't born 20 years ago, and that would have been 2000, so 1980. Oh, wait, I'm around that age, aren't I? So that would have been 40.
Come on, mate,
so
come on.
He was born in 1959.
Okay, 1959 from Joe Branton. Jay Cross, you're next.
I'm going to go with 54.
1954. Matt Knight.
And I'm going to go with 1958.
1958.
Oh, so I think he's the oldest, oh dear.
So,
sorry, Paul.
Paul Reed Smith was born in 1956.
Oh!
Wait, who won?
Well, it was Jay and Matt were both two off. Yeah, and you were three off.
Okay.
Oh, I'm looking forward to adding this up at the end. Okay, fourth momentous event in guitar history. Jay Cross, when was the first Ibanez RG produced?
Oh, what wonderful.
Some of these are so good.
What wonderful guitar.
Oh, gosh.
Rich history.
I tell you what, I've got
vibrant
absolutely
history.
No idea.
That's what's so good.
I'm going to say RG.
Vibrant history.
Vibrant. Oh, is he giving me a clue? Vibrant. When did the vibrator, when was that released? Is that what you're saying?
The first ever vibrator.
Yeah.
Let's not go down.
I'm going to say 1987.
Okay.
Again, the year I was born. Thanks very much.
Oh my goodness. That
Matt Knight.
Appalling.
I'm going to go with, now, I know that The Gem was released in 1987.
Yep.
And The Gem preceded the RGs, if I remember rightly. So I'm going to go with 1988.
Sorry. I thought it was The Gem.
Joe Branton.
Which obviously is not.
Joe Branton.
Yes.
When was the first Ibanez RG produced?
1989.
Just always add one each time. Well, the first Ibanez Gem was actually produced 1987. They came out the same year.
Same year.
As the Gems.
Beauty. So,
J. Cross spot on. Matt, you get 1 point. Joe, you have 2 points.
Happy 32nd birthday, RG.
Yes. Big milestone, that.
That's right.
Okay, so... next up, Matt Knight, you're starting for another momentous moment in guitar history. When was Fender founded?
Fender founded.
Joe Branton, 1945. And Jay Cross.
Oh, this is so good. Be wrong.
46?
1946. So, Fender was founded in 1946.
Oh, no!
Jay Cross, spot on. Matt, 4 points away. Joe Branton, 1 point away.
What year did you say?
He said 45.
45.
And what year did you say, Matt?
42.
Right, okay, yeah. Bang in the middle of World War II. Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, not in a 45. Could have been after.
Okay, yeah.
Right, next up. When was the Maestro Fuzz Tone released? Starting with Joe Branton.
Oh, damn it. 1979.
Okay. J. Cross.
19.
Yep.
60.
Yep.
Ooh.
8.
Okay.
Oh no, one of us is so wrong, and it's probably me.
Matt Knight.
1960.
Oh, damn it.
1.
1961.
Oh, okay. Even earlier.
The Maestro Fuzztone was released in 1962.
That is so bad for me. I don't know if I can come back from this.
Wait till we do the next question. You may be able to come back from it, because I feel this is the one where the answers might swing wildly in either direction. So you added 17 points then, by the way. So... The next momentum. Whose turn was it first? I can't remember now.
I think it was Joe's first.
Yeah. I just went first.
Joe's go first.
Okay, momentous day in guitar history.
Okay.
When was Hiscox Cases founded?
Oh my God. I mean, this could be literally any time in the last like 300 years.
Yeah, you were a momentous sod.
They could have been making violin cases for Stradivarius.
Yes, they could.
Or maybe they came out in 2008.
Yep. Just think about the picture that you get inside the Hiscox case.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
it's like a family. Yeah, but one of them is elderly.
Right. Okay. So, and there weren't any elderly people in like the caveman times. Mm. So probably isn't
it looks
the
like
year
a new
like
picture.
Four.
That's what I'm saying. It's a new picture, and one of the people in that picture is elderly.
You know, pictures could be taken at any point, right?
I don't know what you're saying,
J. Cross.
Are we really going on idea that this is a momentous day in guitar history?
Yeah, the best commercially available hard cases. That is a big
Hiscox.
Okay, I'm going to go with 19.
Ooh. Go on, then.
This is awful.
Think about it. When was the first plane invented?
The Wright brothers invented the plane in 2004.
Right.
There were no need for flight cases before that.
So. Well, exactly. No need for flight cases before flight.
I don't know. 19...
I've got to hurry you up.
1975.
Okay, fine. Matt Knight.
So I'm trying to picture the leaflet inside the Hiscox case.
It's
I'm
a family.
Sure.
It's a family on top of a case.
I believe it also says when they're founded on that leaflet.
It does. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the mid-90s. So I'm going to go for 1996.
Okay.
Wow, that's a 20-year swing already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe Branton.
So, Joe, what are you going to do? You're going to go in the middle of that? You're going to go further back?
Bear in mind, the picture has got an elderly person on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not a family. I don't think it's a family.
I think it's a look, it's not a random set of people that they got to stand
on the
case.
They didn't call people off the street and say, come
and stand on this case for a photo shoot. They went, hey, people that own the Hiscox, come and stand on this case for a photo shoot that goes on the inside.
Henry Hiscox, Henrietta Hiscox.
Yeah, exactly.
Hattie Hiscox.
What is your answer, Joe? When was Hiscox cases founded?
1984.
He's gone bang in the middle.
Fine. Hiscox cases was founded in 1985.
That's right, everyone. That's what I said. You've got to listen to me.
He's made up some significant ground there. Okay, we got 3 questions left.
Oh, gosh, this is punishing.
Matt Knight.
Yes.
What year was Enter Sandman released?
1990.
No, this isn't. That's not a guitar question.
It is.
It's 1990.
It's a famous guitar shop riff. 1990, Matt's going for. Joe Branton.
Can I have the same year?
I feel like I got that wrong.
You can have the same year if you want.
I mean, I don't know anything about
anything.
Metalka. So I'm going to go for 1990 as well.
1990, J. Cross.
1991.
Yeah, I think it was 1991.
The answer is 1991.
Yeah.
J. Cross.
J. Cross, you're so much less cooler
than I
thought.
The record came out in 1990, but I think the single came out the year after.
After the Hiscox question, I had to give you an easy one.
Right.
Right. Okay, 2 left.
They both got it wrong, though.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So I lost a point, but I won. I gained, 40 on you in the...
You didn't gain 40 on me. You went for 1986, and it was 1985, and I'd gone with 1975, so it was 10 points.
Yeah. Joe Branton.
Yes.
What year was the Ampeg SVT introduced?
You've got to be more specific than that, my friend.
The first SVT.
Oh, the SVT-1.
The first SVT.
Which was called the SVT-1.
I don't know or care.
Well, I just want to make sure you've got your facts right.
The first SVT, when was it released?
I don't know, 1976.
Okay, 1976. J. Cross.
I thought it was earlier than that. I reckon 19...
No, think about it. Think about when PA started becoming...
Don't help him.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, any other clues? Any other clues? I reckon...
They were made to partner with an 810, and 810s didn't turn up until... Like the mid 70s, so
I reckon 1969.
You're wrong.
Okay. Matt Knight.
I think you're wrong.
1970.
On the nose, 1970?
No, 1972.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so the Ampeg SVT was released in 1969.
Yes!
Oh, god damn it!
God damn it!
Boom!
Right. Final question. Kicking off with J. Cross.
All right. Oof. He's made back some headway there. What year? Happy with that.
Was the Fender Baja Telly first released?
Oh, crikey.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Mark Packer.
What? You get a chance to answer it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
This came out, I think...
Clocks are ticking.
2006.
Okay, 2006. Matt Knight.
2008.
2008. Joe Branton.
I'm sorry, what?
When was the Fender Baja Telly released?
Oh.
The previous guesses have been 2006 and 2008.
Well, it was definitely around in the shops when I started working in guitar shops. So.
Well, yeah, we only got discontinued like 3 months ago, so
right.
Yes.
Right, so what you're saying is I should go for longer than 3 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go for 2008.
The Fender Baja Telly was first released in 2007.
Oh,
so you were actually all 1 year off then. And what I'm going to do is tally up the old scores. Wow. And you do.
Should we just talk amongst ourselves for a minute?
Well, no, I mean that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over in the Patreon, where, as aforementioned by Mark, and ruining the end of this this podcast, you can sponsor the Guitar Nerds podcast for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and a load more. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out currently in one breath by me. However, we've had like 4 extras this month, so I don't know if this is going to be doable. So what we're probably listening to is the last ever
words of Joe Branton.
Basically, I'm probably either going to pass out or, even if I don't, this is probably the last time we ever do this. So thanks very much, for listening to this. We're going to have to think of another way to do this now. All right, ready?
Yeah, ready. Going to give you the macabre silence you deserve.
Yeah, I want like a... that's not macabre, but very well. Maybe stay away from the Star Wars thing. Can we do a Star Trek? That's better. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Stephen Burke, Robert Butterworth, Neil Milton, Marin Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Joshua Mitchell, Christopher Lund Hansen, John Pearson, John Mayer, Slowly Burning in a Dancing Room, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Pearl, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris T. Cutmore, Rob Cousins, Rob Durrell, Scott Hamilton, Decker Abaddon, Arnie Cooper, Russ Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Enge, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Steve Lee, Henry James Baker, Juan Toya, Aaron Sand, and Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Kemp, Jay Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lawson, Anzans, Rob Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Markle, Michael McBay, Carlos Mencher, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Boo, Kermit, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew Keek, Scott Kane, Sean Abu, Christopher Wolver, Cameron.
Blimey. When you were about to run, you looked like you were about to run out of breath, and I was like, I'll just check where he is on the list, and you were at Blake, and that's not even halfway. Oh god, well done.
That is the closest I've genuinely come to passing out.
Did it? Did it all start to go black?
All round the edges. Yeah, that was that was close.
You really dislike yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Guitarnerds. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitarnerds forum, and subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Guitarnerds. That's it from us for this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon.
What about the results?
On the Patreon?
No.
That's really out of order, isn't it? That's cool. Really out of order. Cool. No, go on. What are the results?
Unsurprisingly, in third place. Could have guessed this before we even started. Joe Branton.
Oh, God damn it! God damn it!
58 points. Matt Knight in second with 43 points. Jay Cross in first place, 36 points.
Oh, wow. Baby! How many zeros did I get?
Four.
4-0 out of how many questions?
10.
Oh, that's 40%.
That's really good.
Not so bad.
Was it 4? Yeah, 4.
How about that? Good at years.
Yeah, clearly.
Good at years.
Congratulations, thank you. Jay Cross. Another victory.
Let's do a Patreon.
Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.